Most of you won't believe what your guest preacher did tonight. I left my briefcase sitting in the kitchen. Bible notes, everything. But we are not lost because it's on my phone. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to look at two verses that the Lord's really been showing me more about over the last month especially. So before we even get there, the title of the message tonight is Confidence in Prayer. Confidence in Prayer. Do you have confidence when you pray? Well, what is confidence? You tell me, what is confidence? What does that mean? Debbie?
Trust.
Trust, yeah, okay. Any other thoughts? Logan?
A lack of fear.
Lack of fear, okay.
Full expectation.
Yeah, full expectation, that's good. Any other thoughts?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Roger?
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Confidence in prayer. I wrote down trust, belief, faith, boldness, cheerful courage, fearlessness, assurance. You know, the disciples didn't really have confidence in prayer, did they? Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. They had a lack. They lacked something there. Well, tonight we're going to look at this subject of confidence in prayer, and we have some good time. My Bible program said that my notes were 19 minutes long, but that means it'll be at least double that. Confidence in prayer, and another way to look at this, what we're going to see in these two verses is perhaps you could call the ABCs of prayer, because we've got 3 points that follow ABC. Well, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we are going to look at verses 14 primarily, and also verse 15. We will get into that. John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, one thing I want you to see at the beginning of chapter 5. Well, let's see. Look at verse 2. Notice in the beginning of chapter 5, I'm in 2 John, so that's not going to help. No, I'm in 1 John. I'm just not used to this Bible. In verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God. What I want you to notice is the word this. This is what the grammarians call a demonstrative pronoun. It's pointing to something. So in verse 2, we have it. By this we know that we love the children of God. And then it goes on and explains it. Look at verse 3. For this is the love of God. And then it goes on and talks about that. Look at verse 6. This is he that came by water. So it's pointing again here to something or someone. Look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. So, demonstrative pronoun, pointing to something. Now, look at verse 14. And let's read verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, I think one thing we need to do is figure out where the this is pointing. Where's the finger pointing here? And that's what we're going to see tonight. First point tonight that I want you to look at is in verse 14. Right in the middle of the verse, there's a short little phrase that says, if we ask, if we ask. So the first point is, to have confidence in prayer, we need to ask. That seems pretty simple, it seems pretty straightforward, but do you ask? Do you ask? Or do you just assume that God is going to know? Now, we understand that God knows all thoughts, but do you ask? And the reason I say that is because the way the Word of God says, if we ask, it's conditional. We have to do that. And if you do not ask, you cannot expect to receive. That's a pretty simple concept. I think we can understand that. Now, for instance, a husband and wife. Quite often, husbands and wives, especially the longer that you're married, we tend to assume that the other knows what we're thinking. I needed to be in that spot, and you're in that spot, you know? Or whatever it is. Or let's say you walk into some kind of a restaurant, and you walk up to the counter, and you just stand there, and you don't say anything. You can stare at the menu for half an hour, and what kind of result are you going to get? Nothing. If we ask, if you ask. In James 4, chapter 2, very simple thought that you all know, God tells us, you have not because, say it, you ask not. Yeah. So, do you ask? Do you truly ask God what you desire? In Philippians 4:6, it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you put it into words? Do you communicate it to God? Or do you just assume that God would know what your feelings? You know, it's true, God knows. In Psalm 139, it says, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God understands. But God also wants you to speak to him your desires. We have to remember that God is a person. And just like a husband and wife, you can't assume what the other is always thinking, and it causes problems. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. There's the action, the asking, and the response. So do you ask? Now, we need to go beyond just the simple, okay, yes, I ask, to how about this? Do you ask clearly? Do you ask specifically? When you sit down and you have a conversation with someone, I doubt seriously you just sit down and you both look at each other and nobody says anything. You need to speak clearly so that your friend understands every syllable. Back to Matthew 7:7 that I just quoted, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. If you don't demonstrate and enunciate what the it is, how can it be given to you? Back to the ordering of food. If you walk in and you say, I want something, what are you going to get? Nothing. Yeah, exactly. You need to enunciate clearly what you want. Be specific. Gideon, you know the story of Gideon, with the fleece and everything, and say what you will about Gideon's requests to God with the fleece. You cannot deny this. Gideon asked specifically what he wanted. And you know what? In the end, God received all the glory. Because Gideon said, "This God, Lord, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for the fleece with just the dew on it and no dew around it." God answered. And then the opposite. God received the glory because Gideon asked specifically. Here's something else about asking. Do you ask before the face of God? Now, that can be kind of scary in some ways, sometimes. But do you come before the face of God and ask? Our verse, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Well, who's at the throne? The Lord is, the Lord Jesus. Do you really go through the doors of the temple, as it were, and being clothed in the righteousness of Christ and go right up to the throne and talk to the Lord? Or do you stay in the outer court behind a pillar of the temple and whisper your request? Now, we know that we need to have the proper humility in approaching the Lord, honoring His majesty and His glory, His wisdom. Isaiah testifies to that. I mean, when Isaiah was in the presence of the Lord, he immediately recognized his sinfulness. He said, "Woe is me." He said, "I am undone." He said, "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But don't forget what Isaiah also said right before the face of the Lord. He said, "Here am I, send me." He was right there before God, and he made his request known. Go back to Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses, it says in Exodus 33, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, you say, well, Moses was different. Well, what did Moses have that you don't have? Let me put it the other way. What do you have that Moses didn't have? Yeah, we have so much more than what Moses had. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Every one of our sins forever has been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We have a joint inheritance with Christ. We have a perfect high priest who has gone before us into heaven to intercede for us. So, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. So, very simple, ask. As it says in verse 14 here, if we ask. Sometimes we don't ask. If we ask. So, the second part that I want us to look at here is this. Letter A, ask. Letter B, believe. In verse 14, it says, if we ask, and the result of that is, He heareth us. Do you believe that God is going to hear you? Are you asking, expecting God to hear you? Excuse me. Now, I know in between there, the if we ask and He heareth us, there's a modifying phrase. It's kind of like the elephant in the room, okay? We're going to get to that. And that's all according to his will. We'll touch on that. But do you, when you ask, when you come before the face of the Lord and ask, do you expect that God is going to hear you? In Psalm 34:17, it says, "The righteous cry and the Lord heareth." In Proverbs 15:29, "He," that is the Lord, "heareth the prayer of the righteous." In 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Now, do you count yourself as being one of the righteous? Are you righteous? If you are in Christ and he is in you, then when God the Father looks at you, what does he see? Only Christ. He only sees the righteousness of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him," that is, God the Father hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Colossians 1:20 through 22, it has these thoughts, that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. For what reason? To reconcile all things unto himself. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So if you are in Christ and he is in you, when you approach the throne of grace, God sees Christ. He sees only Christ. Again, 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." So do you believe that when you come and ask God, that he is going to hear you? Do you ask expecting God to answer you? That's a whole other part of it. Not just to hear you, but when you come and you ask, do you expect that God's going to answer you? Look at verse 15. The end of the verse says, "We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." That word "have" means to hold in your hand, to possess it. Matthew 7:7 again says, Christ said, "Ask, and it shall be given you." That "shall be given" is a simple statement of fact in the original language. It's going to happen. In Matthew 7:8, the Lord said, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." So the question here is not, did you get what you asked for? But the question is, do you ask expecting God to answer you? When you ask, are you looking for, are you waiting for, are you longing for his answer? You remember Hannah? She waited years before God answered her petition for a son. Daniel asked for understanding, and he waited 3 weeks until the answer came. Nehemiah prayed for Israel and waited months before the king noticed his sad countenance. So do you ask expecting that God's going to answer? And are you willing to wait for that answer? Now we get to this question. Do you ask expecting God to give you what you asked for, or to give you what is the very best? God's going to hear me. God's going to answer me. Now, am I expecting God to give me what I asked for, or what is the very best? And this is really the elephant in the room that we talked about before in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Isn't that where we always stumble? If we ask anything according to his will. So, how do you know if you're asking according to the will of God? Now, there's a lot that could be said about this from the Bible. And most of praying in the will of God comes down to praying for things that we already know God wants. Okay? We know it from Scripture. We already know God wants it. And that's pretty simple. But what about things that we pray about where we don't know exactly what God wants? And that's the hardest thing for all of us. When we come before God and we're praying about something and we don't know exactly what his will is. But I believe the Bible tells us the answer to that question. And it comes down to a question that you and I need to ask ourselves for every request that we make of God, every petition, every supplication that we make to God for each other. Here's the question. Do you want God to be glorified? Do you want God to be glorified? Do you want God to receive all the glory? Do you want God to work out all things perfectly in substance and time so that he alone is glorified? Is that your goal when you ask? Jesus said to pray like this. And he started out and he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So you see the entire focus that Christ said our prayer is supposed to be upon the Lord God. And whatever glorifies him. James recorded for us in chapter 4, verse 3, said, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Let me give you an example. Let's say you're praying and you say, "Lord, please save Fred. He's been so terrible to his wife and family. He really needs Jesus." Now, yeah, it's true. Fred needs Jesus. And it would be good for Fred to get right with the Lord and start treating his family right. But think about Jesus. Think about who Jesus is. And all that Jesus already went through so that Fred could be saved. Think of the glory that Jesus would receive when Fred gets saved. What I'm saying is when you pray, when you are praying on behalf of someone else, is your focus upon only that specific petition, or is your heart saying, "Lord, save Fred for Christ's sake, so that he receives all the glory"? Do you ask, here's another question. Do you ask expecting God to give you, well, it's the same one. Do you ask expecting God to give you what you asked for, or what is the very best? Because you know what? The very best is always going to be what glorifies Christ. Paul really, really wanted the thorn in his flesh to be completely removed. And the answer that God gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 was, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now the Lord did two things. First of all, he not only answered Paul's request with the very best, "My grace is sufficient for thee," but then he also gave Paul an explanation of why it was the best. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I think that's great how Paul really wanted the thorn gone. And God said, no, the very best is that my grace is sufficient for you. And I'll even tell you why. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Whenever we ask God in prayer, we always need to remember that his thoughts, what, are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And Paul saw that in his request. So what is the goal? What is the purpose of your asking? And if it is the glory of God, then your asking is in according to his will. And God is going to work out the details of his answer in the very, very best way. Remember to ask with the glory of God as the ultimate goal. So we looked at letter A, ask. We looked at letter B. Do you ask expecting God to hear you? Do you ask expecting God to answer you? Do you ask expecting God to give you what you asked for or to give you the very best? Now letter C. Letter C is confidence. Back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in prayer. Did I read that right? No? But isn't that how we usually look at that verse? And this is the confidence that we have in prayer. What does it say? And this is the confidence that we have in, say it, him. Do you ask with confidence in your asking or in God? Do you ask with confidence in what you asked? Boy, I hope this is in God's will. Or in how you asked? Boy, I hope I said it the right way and I'm coming to God with all the humility that I need. Or are you asking with confidence in God? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and I'm going to throw in there for his glory, and however he in his perfect wisdom and power is going to answer it, he heareth us. When you ask God in prayer, think about this. Who are you talking to? You're talking to the God who created all things by speaking them into existence, who sustains all things. He's the God who has all power. He's the God who condescended to become a man and then die as your substitute for your sins. He's the God who is all love. He's the God who saved you by grace alone. That's wisdom, because we could have never been saved, you know, by our own works. He's the God who's all wisdom. He's the God who always knows what is right and just and good. He's the God who's all justice. So as verse 14 says, and this, here it is, pointing at it, and this is the confidence that we have in him. It's in God. Think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. God came to visit Abraham and told Abraham what he was going to do concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He went right to the throne of grace, as it were. He went face to face with God. He asked specifically. He asked with confidence Now, you might question that, but think of it. He asked with confidence because the judge of all the earth is going to do right. And God, and I'm going to say this, and God gave him what he asked for. God gave Abraham what he asked for. God said yes. The results were not what Abraham perhaps thought they would be. But God's ways are not our ways, and the judge of all the earth did do what was right. In verse 33 of Genesis 18, it says, "And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." Abraham communed with God and then returned with confidence that God was going to work out everything perfectly according to the will of God. Abraham, why do I say that? Abraham did not follow God down to Sodom to make sure God did everything according to Abraham's wisdom. He pleaded with God specifically, and then he went home. And he left it in God's hands, the judge of all the earth, who was going to do right. In Genesis 19:29, it says, "And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out. So the Lord answered Abraham's prayer." How? In the very best way. God was justified, God was glorified, and God also remembered Abraham by sending Lot out of Sodom. 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask," and I'll add this because it's pointing back to the previous verse, "whatsoever we ask that's according to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." The God who is all-powerful, he's all love, he's all wisdom, he's all justice, is going to do what is right. He's going to do what is very best. And our part in this communication that we call prayer, our part is to ask, to believe, and to have confidence in God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So let me wrap this up this way. Confidence in prayer is really confidence in God. It's not, brothers and sisters, it's not in what we ask or how we ask. It's in who we ask. The ABCs of prayer: ask. Do you ask? Do you ask clearly? Do you ask specifically? It's good to do that because that's how God receives his glory. Do you ask before his face? In other words, confidently coming before God because by grace you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Letter B, do you believe? Do you ask expecting that God's going to hear you? Do you ask expecting that God's going to answer you? Ask and it shall be given you. Do you ask expecting God to give you what you asked for or what is the very best? If the goal, if the purpose of your asking is only for Fred, no, there's something missing there. Ask for that Christ be glorified. C, confidence. And this is simple. Is your confidence in prayer or is it in the Lord? Is your confidence in prayer itself, or in the Lord? Put all your confidence in the Lord, and you won't have to wonder about whether you got the process of prayer right. Confidence in prayer is really confidence in God. The ABCs of prayer: ask, believe, confidence. That's what the Lord's been showing me over the last month about prayer, to focus upon Him and to have confidence in Him. Let's close with a song. Take your songbook and turn to number 42.